Yeah. Today is a new year. You know that? In the 15th century, or before the 15th century, April 1st was the new year. And it was Pope Gregory has changed it to January the 1st. But in that time, they don't have a cell phone, they don't have email, they don't have WeChat, WhatsApp, whatever, or Twitter or Facebook. So some of the countrymen still didn't know that the New Year dates have been changed. So they gathered together to celebrate New Year on April the 1st. And the city guys, mock at them. And they are really called April Fool. So today, April the 1st is the April Fool, and that is the story behind. So that's why I say Happy New Year. But I don't want to make you a fool. And neither do you. All right. But actually, this is just a piece of history. But unfortunately, the most important piece of history was not recorded in the history book. Most of them are not, you know. I don't know whether you have a history lesson concerning the history of the Roman Empire and also the first century Jewish history. But how come? See, the resurrection of Jesus Christ was an undeniable historical fact. But how come so many history books did not record this incident? There are many, many reasons, and I want to share with you some of them. First of all, we have to understand the historical circumstances of Israel in that particular era. Israel was conquered and ruled by the Romans in that time. And according to the Roman Empire, Israel, the country Israel, was considered a state of minor significance because there was no military and economical values in that area. Furthermore, there were a few rebellions and upheavals happened in the past 200 years before Jesus Christ. Jews were very often being looked down and oppressed. Jesus was being considered as a rebel. That was why his cause of being nailed to the cross was the King of the Jews. Of course, the Romans would not write anything concerning such a rebel. So that's why you couldn't find any record in the entire Roman Empire history. Secondly, the religious leaders of the Jews of that time hated Jesus very much. That's why they wanted to put him to death. Jesus' teaching not only in contradiction with the religious teachings and practice of the day, he often criticized their wrongdoings. And you can see, you know, this all over the Gospels. Of course, they would not consider Jesus' resurrection was real. As a matter of fact, you know, if they can use 30 pieces of silver to bribe Judas to betray Jesus, why not he could bribe others the same token? So that's why, you know, they just put this real fact behind. Therefore, if you look at the writings in the Jewish religion books, you could find anything about the resurrection of Jesus. And finally, at that time, there was a very famous historian. He is a Jewish and his name is called Josephus. But unfortunately, he also naturalized as a Roman citizen. So when the king asked him to write history about the Jewish history at that time, he just mentioned in a very, very brief paragraph. He said, there was a man in Galilee named Jesus. He has done great miracles and healed many people. And many people follow him. And that's it. So you can Google it with Wikiki. You can find all these facts. So this is one of the or one of the several reasons why you couldn't find history books recording the resurrection of Jesus Christ. However, more than 2,000 years have passed. How come even up to today, there are still thousands and thousands of people take the resurrection of Jesus as true? How come the message have been so well received and have been impacting so many lives? There must be some concrete evidences that support these people's belief. So let us now find out some of the evidence. Let's go to the scripture passage we are preaching on today. So please turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. And this is a record of two disciples meeting Jesus on the road of Emmaus. So to cut the story short, I just want to mention or to read several passages instead of the whole thing. Let's say, starting at verse 15, as they talk and discuss these things with each other, that means concerning the resurrection of Jesus happened in Jerusalem, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. Luke chapter 24, verse 17 now. He asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, are you the only one living in Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that had happened there in 3 days, in these days? What things, he asked, about Jesus of Nazareth? They replied, he was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find the body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explains to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, please, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scripture to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. So the first evidence I want to point out is verse 32. The first evidence is the emotional impact of the two disciples on the road of Emmaus. They said in verse 32, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scripture to us?" Initially, they did not understand how come such a cruel punishment happened to their teacher who had not committed any crime. They have witnessed his suffering on the cross, his death, and his burial. Then all of a sudden, they heard, after 3 days, that Jesus has risen from the dead. They were told that the tomb was empty. Few women saw the resurrected Jesus. They were very perplexed and frightened. But after listening to the stranger on the road, who could explain the incidents of resurrection through the Bible, their hearts were burning within them. This was a sign of satisfaction and excitement. Such kind of emotion moved them to change the course of their life. I think you might have such a similar emotional experience in your life. When you were a boy or a girl, you wanted to become a firefighter, a doctor, a musician, a lawyer, and so on. And all because you have heard or seen the hero of your heart, and you wanted to become one of them. So that is the emotion that pushed you towards your life goal. Yesterday, I went to the dentist to fix clean my teeth, and the assistant son went into the Air Force, and I asked the lady, "How come you know he was so interested in fighting?" And he said, "No, when he was young, he watched all the parades and Air Force display and so on. And everything, you know, within his mind is military. He is a Christian, he is not going to fight, but somehow, you know, this kind of passion within him moved him to make a decision to become a military man." So I think you might experience such a kind of experience. For myself, you know, when I was 12 years old, I watched a film concerning a violinist, and his name, he's a very famous violinist in the 16th century, and his name is Niccolo Paganini. And if you have chance, you know, just Google it or YouTube, you will find his music. And he not only composed or played the violin so well, he has composed so much difficult technique for the violin. Not many people can attain to it. But somehow that film moved me to become a lover of music. And I wanted to play the violin. And also, you know, my father allowed me to take lessons. But that's it. I never became a violinist. But you know, this kind of emotion become a passion in your heart, and that passion will direct your life goal. And it just happened to these two disciples, because they were so perplexed. How come such a good man being crucified and without reason, you know, without basis? And now, after hearing and the stranger told the story about resurrection, they are very passionate about the message, and they accepted this message as their own hearts, and that moved them to change their course. Because originally they wanted to go to somewhere, and we didn't know what they wanted to do. But no matter what, after hearing this message, they turned back to Jerusalem and told the good news once again to the 11. And of course, if we read on, we knew that Jesus at that time also appeared to them. And also all the disciples within the room have been changed. So this is a very strong evidence to show that Jesus has risen. Not to mention that afterwards, Jesus really broke bread with them. And the same attitude as the Last Supper. So, by that time, they recognized that it was really Jesus who has risen from the dead. So this is the first evidence. But today I want to, as we are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus, I just want to ask you, do you have such kind of passion? Do you have that such kind of an emotional impact when we are celebrating the resurrection of Christ? Or, you know, we do it every year. So what's the big deal? Or just business as usual? Then I will ask you to think over, what is the meaning of the resurrection of Jesus Christ to you? So the second evidence, we have to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 says, "For what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scripture, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born." So the second evidence is that Jesus Christ not only showed himself to his close circle of disciples after he was resurrected, but he also showed himself to a crowd more than 500 people, and many of them are still living at the time when Paul wrote this epistle. If the resurrection was a hoax, a fake news, like President Trump always say, it's a fake news, there would be someone in the crowd come out to denounce that this is a rumor. And so this is a fabrication by the disciples. If the high priest like I said, can use 30 pieces of silver to bribe Judas to betray Jesus, they can do the same to denounce that the resurrection of Jesus is a rumor, a fabrication, a white lies. They did not, and they could not, because it was true. So, and the third evidence, we could see that the change of attitude of the disciples, especially Peter, proved that the resurrection of Jesus was real. Remember what has happened in the Garden of Gethsemane? When the men from the temple came to catch Jesus, all the disciples sped out in the darkness because they were afraid that they would be caught also. A few hours later, Peter denied that he knew Jesus three times before the rooster crowed. When Jesus was nailed on the cross, only John was standing by the cross. The rest of the disciples were so frightened, they went to the distance to observe the tragic scene. They were afraid to lose their own lives. They were not willing to follow Jesus to the end. But after meeting the resurrected Christ for a few times, and when the Holy Spirit descended upon them, their attitude has changed completely. They were not afraid anymore. They were boldly and courageously speaking the truth and proclaimed Jesus was a resurrected Lord in front of many people, including the high priest in the temple and in front of the Roman officials. Where comes such a courage? It was because they have met the real Jesus who has risen from the dead. And when Paul repeated this message in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he repeatedly used the scripture as an evidence to prove that Jesus was predicted in the years before that he will be risen after death. So the Old Testament has a lot of messages and prophecies to predict that Jesus one day will die on the cross and buried, but after 3 days he will be raised from the dead. And one of the outstanding passages I want to quote is Psalms 16, verse 10. Here, David says, "Because you, that is God, will not abandon me, that is Jesus, to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay." Remember, this psalm was written 1,000 years before Christ has come to earth. How amazing and how accurate the prophecy is. Without the Bible, there's no faith. That's why I ask you to take home this outline, and I encourage you to read those printed verses repeatedly this week so as to strengthen your faith. And finally, the last evidence, and not the least, is the witness of believers and church history gives us evidence that Jesus has risen from the dead. God has once said in the Bible, "There's no secret not being revealed." So no matter what you do, even so nobody see you, but one day it will be revealed. Not only that, these people like me, since believing in the resurrected Jesus, their lives have been changed with joy, peace, and hope. And I remember when the night I received Jesus as my personal Savior, My joy is overwhelmed that I couldn't go to bed. I couldn't sleep the whole night because I was so joyful, because I know that my sin has been forgiven. And these people are willing to follow him, to serve him, and even to die for him. All the 12 disciples except Judas was martyred. They were killed in different ways. It because they are courageous enough to witness that Jesus has risen today. For example, Paul, he was so courageous when he was brought to the Roman court, and he particularly pointed out that Jesus was not only a man, Jesus was the Son of God, and he has risen from the dead. And the official said, "You are crazy. Your mind went wrong," because they, in the whole history of human history, there was no one have risen from the dead. But this is our message. Without telling people that Jesus has risen from the dead, we are hopeless. So, I just challenge you today that do you want to have a changed life? Do you want to follow Jesus dearly? And do you want to follow him sacrificially? Are you encouraged enough, courageous enough to tell your classmate, your schoolmate about the gospel, about the message of Jesus? That is really a challenge. Okay, now let us look at from the other angle. But suppose if Jesus had not risen from the dead, how would it affect you and me? At least there are some three things I want to pick it up. Also, the first one is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17 to 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 17, it says, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. As if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep." So these few verses tell us that if Jesus has not risen from the dead, you don't need to come to church. You don't need to believe in Jesus. It's futile. It's nothing. It's void. But if you say that Jesus has risen from the dead, then you have hope. We will not be controlled by sin anymore, because the resurrection of Jesus has defeated Satan and have overcome sin. And if you receive Jesus today, he will give you that resurrection power to overcome sin and also give you hope in this hopeless world. And secondly, if Jesus did not raise from the dead, then we are still under the control of the authority of sin. That is Romans chapter 6, verse 4 to 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, Just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If you have been united with him in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be rendered powerless, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. So you see, the resurrection of Jesus proved that he has overcome the power of sin. So if he hasn't risen from the dead, we are still under the control and the authority and the bondage of sin. So thirdly, it was found in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in the present. So we have, if Jesus did not raise from the dead, we have no hope. If we die, we just die. So what's the meaning of life if that's the case? But thank God, it's not that. Jesus was the first fruit of the believers who will bring us, even if we die, we will be resurrected like him. So that is the meaning of first fruit. He is the example of what the future comes. So now springtime is coming, and we know that we will see the bud coming out from the trees on the from flower. Then we are sure that since the flower bud will one day will burst into beautiful flower. So when we see the bud, we know we will reap, we will see the flower. So the first fruit is just like that. Okay, if you see the sign, and Jesus has risen from the dead, is a sign, then we will follow suit. So when we die, we will not just die. One day, we will be resurrected, and we will be brought in the presence of God forever, and that is eternal life. So that's why, you know, if Jesus did not raise from the dead, our belief, our faith is futile. What you do is just meaningless, and you have no hope. You have no future. You will die and just die. So, what is your response to the resurrection of Jesus? Would you like to have a changed life? A life that has the ability to overcome sin? I plead you to receive Jesus as your personal Savior today if you have not done so. So shall we bow down and pray? Before I pray, in the name of Jesus, I want to ask, does anyone here today want to receive Jesus as his or her personal Savior? Jesus has risen from the dead. He has overcome sin. And because of that, your sin will be forgiven if you believe in him. So would you make such a decision today? If you want to make a decision today, you can raise up your hand to show that this is the decision, a life-changing decision you will make. And I will pray for you. You know that you are a sinner. You know, like me, what you have done many wrongs in the past. Jesus will forgive you, and his blood will cleanse all your sin. You will receive a new clean heart. You will enter a new relationship with God. We all have the desire to become good and to please God, but we just couldn't do it. Jesus will give you his resurrection power to help you to carry out your good desires. You just invite him into your heart and trust him. Is anybody like to make such a decision today? Because of the time restraint, I ask you once more, if anyone wants to receive Jesus as your personal Savior, please put up your hand to show your earnest decision. It will change your life forever. My son believed Jesus at the age of 7, and he is now 47, and he still have a good standing as a Christian. And whatever he does, he will ask God what is right, what is wrong, how to please him, how to glorify him. So would you like to become such a Christian today? All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us your Son Jesus to be our Savior. We thank you that he not only took up our punishment of sin, carried it to the grave and buried it, but he has risen from the dead to prove that he has overcome sin and defeated Satan. Whoever believes in him might have eternal life, a new life reconnected to the Heavenly Father. Not only our sins are forgiven, but also we can enjoy you as our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ, our Great Shepherd. We will be brought to green pasture and beside quiet waters, a life full of joy and satisfaction, a life that will be brought to your presence forever. Please, I ask you, Jesus, continue to guide those who have accepted you. And for those who are still seeking, I pray the Holy Spirit will help them to understand the Bible and your words so that one day they will take Jesus as their Savior and Lord. I pray this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.